Looking at the scriptures of Jesus, praying. They are very slight. The recorded prayers of Jesus are only said in 6 different places. But there are 7 of them, because one is duplicated. So last week, you might recognize the scripture that I'm going to preach this week. But instead of being in the Gospel of Luke, it's in the Gospel of Matthew. The words are identical of Jesus' prayer, but the context is completely different. Here are the words found in Matthew chapter 11, beginning with verse 16 and ending with verse 30. The words of the Lord. But what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. At that time, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble at heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. May God bless the reading of his holy word. Will you pray with me, Lord? As we look at this same exact prayer, but completely differently determined by the situation in which it's presented, may you open our hearts to both the wisdom of Matthew, and may it touch our hearts about how we live life. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, you might remember that last week, the context of this short prayer is a praise from Jesus' lips after he has sent out the 70 disciples. And 70, I said last week, was a very peculiar number, but in the biblical world, 70 in Genesis represented all the nations of the world. So in all the nations of the world, Jesus is praying. But in Matthew's context, he's praying at a time when people are questioning. What is the value of faith in this difficult life where we are yoked with a burden? It's a question of, well, a common problem that we face in our lives. There are too many options, too much to do, too many expectations on us, and everybody's telling us what's more important, whether it's to do health at the health fitness club or to invest in the stock market or to do anything that would be better, do the latest fad diet or get the hottest car. We get sold a bill of goods, don't we? Everywhere we turn. And Jesus is saying a couple of interesting things. He first of all likens people to children. Now children are fascinated by the latest toy, don't they? Aren't they? They're fascinated. Oh, Mom, Dad, get me this. I saw it on TV or Bobby has it. And it is really cool. They fixate, but doesn't everyone in our culture fixate on the next great thing? It's so easy because there's so much progression in this world. The hottest new car, the hottest new computer program, the best way to communicate, the latest cell phone. Oh, it takes better pictures. You can do them in 3D or in night vision. Yay! The truth is, Jesus looks at it and he says, you know, you're like children that are playing flutes and dancing around with children's games. Those aren't the really important things of life. Those aren't really the things that are going to mean something to you. In fact, it represents an immature petulance that you have. You see, Jesus tells them, hey, you discounted John because he was abstaining from anything that even spoke of evil. He ate a very gladiator diet. He didn't consume alcohol. He never had gone off in a special way. In fact, he's described as wearing a camel shirt inside out. Camel shirts are really a rough hair. And they would do nothing but irritate the skin. But he lived in that irritation because it reminded him of the goodness of God. Now, we could quarrel about that being the best way to remind us of the presence of God in our lives. But at the same time, Jesus said, I come among you playing, eating, and drinking, and loving life. And you criticize me. What will make you happy? There's a story told in the Hebrew culture of a man named King Reuben. And it goes something like this. King Reuben was always asking questions. Where is the hottest place on earth? Where is the place where the snow falls the deepest? And one day he asked his advisors, what's the sweetest melody of all? What's the greatest sound that comes into your ears? Now, some of us might think of a Bach cantata. Others of us might say the Beach Boys. Others of us might give some other answer to that. What music we like to hear. And he said, what is the very best? And nobody could answer him, so the wise men of the village rubbed their heads, and then they came to him and said, well, why don't you discover it? I suggest, one of them said, that you invite all the musicians in the kingdom to come and have them perform for you to find out what is the sweetest melody. And so he invited everybody. The king thought that was a great idea, jumped on the idea, set a date, and invited all the musicians of the kingdom to come before him and play and sing and dance. And so they did. But all of a sudden, what he recognized is that with everybody playing at once, it was a complete cacophony. I mean, they were plucking and tinkling and blowing and banging. And his advisors came up to him and they said, in the midst of this, to your ears, what is the greatest melody? And he said, I can't tell. And just at that moment, a woman stepped out from all the musicians in the kingdom and stepped forward and said, O king, I have the answer to your question. And the king was surprised because she didn't even have an instrument in her hand. And he looked at her and said, why didn't you come earlier? And the woman said, I had to wait for the setting of the sun. And sure enough, just then, the sun began to sink in the west. And as it sunk, there was a beautiful orange glow that came over the world. And everyone stopped playing. And the woman looked at the king and said, what is the sweetest sound? It is the silence of a golden sunset. You know, sometimes peace is the greatest noise, isn't it? Jesus was saying, come to me, you who are yoked by burdens. Now, a yoke was a heavy wooden harness that was put over bulls so that as they would pull a cart, they would work together in conjunction with one another without pulling left or right and struggling. It had to be heavy because bulls were very strong. And if you put a light harness on them, it wouldn't do any good. But with a heavy harness, it helped them work together as a team. But when a harness is heavy, it's also a burden, isn't it? Some of you feel burdened by the yokes that are put on your life, the responsibilities, either at work or with family or with finances. They feel heavy. And in this context, Jesus is looking at the heaviness of the world. And he's saying, my yoke is light. My burden is light. You see, what he's saying is, I will free you from all the concerns if you just trust me. And then he looks up and he prays. He prays for us that we are not overcome. He's not praying in a celebration. He's praying almost in a lament that there are so many people that are worn out by life. And he says, the message I give you is you are loved, that I will help you carry your burdens, that I will give you greater life, greater hope. You see, he addresses the people as if they're children at play. You know, children at play have a lot of fun, but they seriously don't go places, do they? They don't progress. Na 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 na. Yeah, it's fun, but it doesn't have any lasting significance. Too often, we're like children. We just play at things. We play at computers. We play at life. Well, this was a people that were weary of playing, because in their lives, they saw themselves as beasts of burden. You know, you ever heard the thing, I cower to the man. Famous saying in the 70s. The man was whoever was in charge. And we were simply puppets. So you dance to the pleasure of the man. Well, it was really true in their time. They didn't have many outlets of fun or entertainment. Their whole lives were about survival. And the concept of a weekend never occurred to them. In fact, the Jewish Sabbath was something that was such a rarity in the world. They didn't have a Saturday, Sunday off from their work. They worked 7 days a week. There was no rest. But we feel like that, don't we? We run the rat race all week long, and then Saturday comes and somebody expects us to be at a party and do something, and you know, and we go, oh, do I have to? And then Sunday comes and we got to go to church, and we got to go to sports, and we got to do everything. But in the original context, when you read it, the Old Testament tried to protect a special day. A day that Genesis records God rested. If God can rest, so can we. Jesus says, you're like children who dance in the courtyard at meaningless tasks. But I have brought you rest. I mean, how many of us are like the chimp that was chosen for an experiment at the University of Oklahoma? She was a 15-year-old female chimpanzee named Wasso. And to communicate, she was taught sign language with simple recognition skills. And over the years, Wasso learned 140 different signs. Finally, the project directors decided that the chimpanzee was ready to conceptualize. Now, this meant that instead of merely imitating the human words, that Wasso would be able to communicate thoughts of her own. You see, Wasso was a pampered animal, well-fed, physically comfortable, safe from harm, and when she finally was able, on her own, to put words together into a simple phrase, these were her first three words. Let me out. And she said them repeatedly, over and over again, let me out. I think some of us feel like we wish we could be let out. Get off the train. Take a break. And in that context, Jesus prays for us and says, you know, if you're overburdened, if you've got a yoke on you, please, please come to me. Pray with me. Cry with me. Confess with me. And let me lift that yoke off you. His prayer in this context was not one excited, but one with great compassion for each of us. As you go through the tough things of your week, think of this prayer. It's a prayer actually of deliverance in this context. It's God wanting you to inhale and exhale and rest. Amen? Amen.